prizes, fun, trivia, special guests, and you. Yes, it's the return of Theater Geeks Live to the Bristol Opera House, featuring everyone's favorite theater trivia game show, I Know, I Know.
No, I don't know. Anyway.
Join the geeks, John, Dave, and Marcia, along with Quizmaster Rick Ellis and MC Kevin Agelski, live at the Bristol Opera House, Saturday, November 9th at 10 a.m. $10 admission includes your breakfast, followed by a 3-episode taping of Theater Geeks, including our game show, where you just might win one of several fabulous prizes, or at least something funky out of the Opera House basement.
Oh my God, my mind just went totally blank.
Mark the date, November 9th, for Theater Geeks Live at the Bristol Opera House, Bristol, Indiana. All proceeds benefit Elkhart Civic Theater. Call 574-848-4116 weekday afternoons for tickets, or check elkhartcivictheater.org for details. Theater Geeks Live, November 9th, 10 a.m. at the Bristol Opera House. Don't miss it.
This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Yeah.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
1, 2.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shope.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Today we're going to talk about scientific ways of analyzing
the quality
of productions. And we have to go to Marcia for this to start, because it was her topic to begin with. And what scientific instrument do you use to analyze the quality of productions that you are viewing?
Well, at some point, I find myself drawing a lot of attention, my own attention, to how I'm feeling about sitting in that seat. So I go to the bumometer. Now, if the show is good, it doesn't matter if it's a half an hour, 90 minutes, 3 hours long, you don't even think about how you're sitting in your seat.
So it's not time related, really.
No, it's not time related. It's quality of show related.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have been to some shows where I stood up afterwards and I wondered, why does my back hurt? Why do my legs hurt? Why does my bum hurt? And I realized it's because the show was so bad, it went straight to my extremities.
I see.
I don't know, so the
bumometer is not something that you have to get out to consult.
No.
No, you don't have to take out your bumometer.
No,
you can just sit right there.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. And you know, it's true. You think about it.
Yeah.
If you go to a show and you get up and you feel good and you've enjoyed it, and then it gets like a 10 on the bumometer. But if you can't, if everything is killing you and you're bum hurts and your legs hurt, it's about like a -3.
Can you tell us about your worst bumometer experience?
No, I can't, because I don't want to mention any names.
Oh.
It was not too long ago, and it was what brought it to my attention, because I had seen like 3 plays within a period of 4 days.
Yes.
And 2 of them, although long, were amazingly good, and I didn't feel a twinge, nothing ached, nothing hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them was just, it was so bad that
the bumometer went crazy.
It went crazy.
Well, now let me ask you this. Is it possible to have a bad bumometer experience and then, like, the next day not have one? Because I'm wondering if maybe 3 plays in a row was part of
No. I don't think it has anything to do with...
You can be rejuvenated from a bad bumometer experience.
Absolutely you can.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's one of the ways that I tell, and I say, pay attention to your bum the next time you go to the show.
Okay, what
effect... Because you'll see what it's taking.
What are like the guilty, or the bad indicators, the things that actually set off the bumometer?
Bad performances.
Bad
productions. Mm-hmm. Slow. Draggy.
Pace.
Mm-hmm. Pace.
Pace, is, oh, lot, yeah.
pace
yeah.
is it. There
pace
you go.
Pace is terrible.
You can make up for a lot of sins
you go,
with pace.
Oh, yeah. Lord, am I still sitting here? Oh, my God, it's dragging on. It's, yeah. It's that's one of my. You guys must have other ways to tell.
Well, so John has another.
John well, has
I,
a good.
I have the bummometer issue too, though.
So yeah. totally yeah. scientific, though. It, though. The bummometer hey, is actually
it's universal.
It's universal. I
you
think.
Just haven't noticed it before, but
I
now
right.
you'll notice.
Get yeah. in touch. Get in touch with
right.
your bummometer.
Right.
So mine would be the time warp-a-meter, I guess, or
time warp-a-meter.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
okay.
Warp-a-meter.
So, you do time travel
when you do time travel. So. For example, when you sit there watching a really good show and you forget about the time,
mm-hmm.
and it never enters your mind to even think of how long that act was, and when the lights come up for your intermission and it's like, what, already? As opposed to a show that you, you've been watching going, oh, God, it's been an hour and a half. Is it ever going to end? And you look at your watch and it's only been 35 minutes.
Right.
You know, I have that same problem with television, though. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of shows that I watch and I seem to really like, and I watch them on television and I think, isn't the show over yet, though? And I look at my watch and it's only like halfway through the show. And it's
then
like,
you realize
oh,
you're not enjoying it as much
maybe
as
I'm not enjoying
you
it
no,
as much as I thought.
As much
but that's
thought.
That's mine, the time warp.
It's the time warp kind of thing.
Yeah, because, right. I mean, when you're really engrossed in a show, the time just stands yeah, still. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter anymore.
And an adjunct to that would be the snoozometer.
Okay.
I have a very good friend who frequently goes to the theater with me, and I can tell, even if I'm trying to pay attention and take notes and all this, when this person nods off, the snoozometer gives this show like a zero.
Okay. Yeah. Has anyone here in this room
yes.
ever snoozed off in a
oh,
show?
Oh, yeah.
Have you done it? Okay. I thought maybe that was something we didn't make.
I don't
know. Because I have as well.
But sometimes
we
I mean,
all have.
Sometimes I'm going to say like that. I've fallen asleep in professional productions before,
mm-hmm.
but it's usually if I've been traveling or something like that to
right.
get to that location, and then you know you wear down and it's like boom, you fall asleep.
Right.
Although I have seen some professional productions that have required sleep. I mean, I just might as well sleep through it as opposed
that's
to,
right.
to
yeah,
watch
you,
it.
You get
true.
As much out of
being
it by sleeping through it as you would.
Doesn't keep you awake.
But yeah, I mean I have, unfortunately, fallen asleep in shows. You know, I find
me
myself
too.
To snooze off, and then I wake up real quick. And
yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Well, what's yours, Dave?
Mine has to do with light sensitivity. And
so,
I keep hoping, because I know that I'm kind of like in the wrong place when I realize that I'm hoping and wishing that there would be a nice, you know, the lights would come up and there would be a nice bright scene on stage. That's so that I can see the program to see how far along we are. And usually, and I have to admit, happens to me in musicals particularly,
yeah.
I look to see how many songs are left before the end of the act or the end of the show. And I'm thinking, I'm hoping there's only two or three left, or maybe one left, or maybe we're like, I'm hoping this is the finale number of this act or whatever. And so that's my indicator.
Well,
is one of them anyway.
Yeah, and I use that. I kind of have that sometimes too, but only because it's like I just want something else to do. Other
something
than
else
the
to
stage.
Look at. Yeah.
so, yes.
Is there a crossword the puzzle in the back of the program? Maybe.
I know.
Well, sometimes it's like you look through the cast list and go, I want to know the name of the person who's playing that role because
they're so bad,
or I really like them.
Yeah.
yeah.
As opposed to the
true.
Rest of the cast.
That's
no,
true.
But that's terrible to say.
But if you're a professional
are we being mean?
I think we're being honest.
If you're a professional productions, then you have the Playbill magazine very often.
Right.
And that has other articles to read while
yeah,
the play is going on.
It does.
That's what, you know, we need to all carry
Well, that's why I have my
this.
Little flashlight.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the only
that's
reason.
The only,
but
yes, that's because
yes.
you write during shows, too.
Yes, I'm a note taker.
So I guess maybe what's the lesson here? I don't know. This was just sort of a nice little sharing episode, I think.
Yeah, really.
But it also is a word to the wise, those of you who are producing shows, to consider your audience's bum. Consider your audience's level of boredom. And I think a lot of this that we're talking about has to do with pace of the
pace.
Show. It's really the pace of the show.
And how much the actors are engrossing. I mean, you can see a show that is done by amateur actors, some of whom may have never been on stage before. But if you've done everything as a director that you're supposed to do, which is help them build interesting characters, make sure the storyline is there, make sure that your pace is there,
right,
that it helps your audience enjoy the show.
Yeah.
You know, and stay focused on it.
That's true. I just think that, yes, that's one of the things that people that do shows with me a lot as director know that I'm going to start talking about that almost from the beginning.
What, pacing?
Yeah.
And you have to.
Yeah, because if you start rehearsing at a slow pace, I mean, when you're not off book yet, you can forgive it. But after you're off book, you know, you should be trying to get that pace where it needs to be all the time.
Yeah.
Rehearse at performance level, essentially.
And if you find members of your audience asking for cushions, you know you're in big trouble.
That's right.
And they're not 3 years old.
If they're not short people, right, then you really, yes.
Right.
You know, one of the things that sets that bum meter off for me, though, for me, sometimes production aspects.
Oh,
because yes. I get so frustrated and then I start getting antsy. Like if somebody's performing in the dark, It makes me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's supposed to be a dark scene, they should never be in the dark. They should be lit. And to play a scene in the dark, it makes you tired. It makes your audience tired. Mm-hmm. Marcia, you've talked about that before. When there's not enough light on stage.
Oh, terrible! Right.
You know, no matter how awake your audience is, if your stage is dark. And you can have a dark stage, but you can still have intensity and light, which is a whole different thing. And so your interest is always driven sometimes, even if you have a dark stage. But if the lights that are on have an intensity and an emotional quality, almost are a character of their own, then you're engrossed.
Right.
But if it's just a dark stage, it's just a dark stage.
Right.
And to have people playing scenes in the dark is, I think, inexcusable.
Yeah,
but it makes me antsy. I get my bumometer going, my bumometer,
right?
You know, my time warp.
Yes, and you wonder. You get the wiggles.
Yep.
You get the wiggles. You're shifting, wiggles. Shifting sands.
Yep.
Yep. That's it.
To try and keep yourself awake. So
what?
What? Oh yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Well, I think that, you know, if you'll all wake up for just a second, we need to close up the show here, so we can do that. That's it from us. Please be sure to subscribe to Theater Geeks at theatergeeks.com. You can listen at the website, but subscribe. That way you'll get every episode. You can also subscribe to our newsletter and get a reminder for each of the episodes, but we're on iTunes. We are at Stitcher On Demand Radio. We are on a couple of other things, Blueberry Network, and we're working on even more venues, easy ways for you to listen and keep up to date with all our theater geekiness here. And also
sometimes we're geekier than others.
That's right. Please stop by the store, theatergeeks.com/store, where you can buy hats, cups, mugs, all kinds of interesting geek gear, including Marcia's favorite.
Coffee cups.
Coffee cups. There we go. Cups. And they are wonderful coffee cups.
They are.
Because the big ones hold quite a lot of coffee.
And you can see us drinking out of them on November 9th.
On November 9th, we are going to be doing a live show. I don't know. This episode's going to hit right around that time. So this would be a good time for you to think about coming to our show. We're going to have some special guests. We're going to have our game show, I Know. And if you're listening to this podcast on your iPhone or your iPod or whatever, you also have heard the little advertisement for our podcast or for our live show as well. If you're in the Northern Indiana area, it's at the Bristol Opera House on November 9th at 10 a.m., starting with a little continental breakfast, some nosh and coffee, really good stuff. And then we're going to be starting to record 3 episodes of Theater Geeks and our game show, and you might win some stuff.
And just real quick, you know, I would love to know if there's real science behind our bumometer. So if anybody has that information out there about why we do that,
any scientific papers,
send it to any of us. Or if you have ideas about upcoming episodes, let us know.
That's true.
Would you like us to discuss, hopefully on a more serious note?
That's right. I don't think we can talk about our bumometers at all.
You can do that in Theater Geek Underwear.
He said but.
Oh, jeez.
What? You can do it in Theater Geek Underwear.
There you do. There you go.
I got it in today. Yay.
Okay, that's it from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shaw.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks, obviously.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.